Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke.
The music the Lancaster, Pennsylvania-based band The Stray Birds plays owes a lot to a distinctly American tradition. But dig a little deeper and you'll find traditional music from elsewhere and even some classical sensibilities.
That's thanks to the training of its members, Maya DeVitri, Oliver Craven, and Charlie Minch make up the band, and a recent tour took them to Milwaukee. They joined us in the studio for a conversation and a mini concert, which included the title song from their latest release, the 2014 album Best Medicine. The Stray Birds with Best Medicine in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thanks so much. Welcome to Milwaukee.
Thank you.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
And before we go any further, from our left to our right, or whichever way you want to go, well, why don't I have you introduce yourselves?
I'm Oliver Craven. I was playing the resonator guitar on that last one.
And I'm Maya DeVitri. I was singing and playing guitar.
I'm Charlie Minch, and I'm playing the upright bass and singing.
Outstanding. Well, great song, and obviously the title track from your latest album. That is a lot of music occupying a very small geographic space in this studio. There are a lot of bands that, you know, either come in here or are on stage, and they're all over the stage. What is it that makes playing together in this way good for you?
Well, it allows us to hear each other really well. We're just playing acoustic instruments when we perform. And so we can hear the sound of each other's instruments pretty well because we're so close to them, and each other in our voices when we're singing together. We're just using one microphone for the people listening at home.
Well, and tell us about this microphone, because people don't necessarily know microphones, but this has a particularly old-timey look to it.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a large diaphragm condenser microphone that we use to sing into all in the one microphone together. And this particular one, the looks of on which you've remarked, is made by a guy who calls his company the Ear Trumpet Lab, and they're in Portland, Oregon, and there's a lot of people using them these days.
Do you audition microphones before you decide on the one that sounds best for you? I mean, does it have to
sound like you
want it to sound?
No. We just use whatever we can get. in a way, yeah, we've been doing this for 4 years, and so we've gone through a few different kinds of microphones, and we have left some behind. But it is so that when we started, someone just gave us a microphone that we started using, and it was literally what we could get. We've made a few changes, but this is a good microphone for what we do right now.
Tell us the story of this band. I mean, what was the catalyst that got the three of you working together? Because I gather two of you have been playing to some degree for a long time together.
Well, Charlie, who is playing bass, he and I have known each other since middle school in Pennsylvania. And Oliver grew up in the same county, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. This band didn't form until after high school, and Charlie and Oliver met and formed a bluegrass band. It was a boy band, and I attended some of their shows, and I was inspired by seeing people my age playing original music, and I had just started writing songs myself, and Oliver and I started hanging out and sharing songs, and when that band, River Wheel, you know, kind of split up, went in different directions, Charlie was still in the area and a friend of ours, and we thought, let's, you know, include him on some of the recordings that we're doing. We didn't have a name yet, we did a couple shows as Dvitri Craven and Minch before we
decided that's a good name for a law
firm.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, right, right. So we knew we had to come up with a name. We made a recording.
And if you were a loved one, been hurt in a car accident.
Made a recording in 2010 called Borderland. And it's like a really early stage for this band. It was a couple of my original songs. Oliver had a couple originals. We did some traditional songs from the old time traditional music canon. And Charlie played bass on a couple tracks, but didn't sing at all. And it's evolved a lot since then. You know, it's been more and more inclusive in a writing and arranging aspect ever since that first recording. And Charlie sings songs in the band now, which didn't happen in 2010 because it was a one-off project. It wasn't really meant to, do anything other than preserve the songs that Oliver and I had been singing together that summer.
Was it because you had been just playing bass on tunes before that? Did it take some convincing to add your vocals to this, or was this band always
just
about
practice more than convincing? You know, playing and singing kind of thing, being comfortable enough to do that. But yeah.
You had to bribe him.
I feel like I was really new to playing and singing when this band started. I mean, I came up playing in the high school orchestra, and I wasn't a part of chorus and, you know, those kinds of things. But I had just started writing songs and wanted to sing them. And I feel like I've learned a lot in the last couple of years just being on stage. It's definitely evolved, and we're excited for some of the new songs we've been playing. We're going to record again in December.
That's great. Now, as you said, you're from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and which, as people might know, is a great place to buy pretzels or Amish furnishings. But what is the live music scene like there?
I grew up in a family that really, really loved this kind of music, loved bluegrass, loved old time, and loved just playing songs, just sitting around playing songs, you know, Neil Young songs or whatever. So my parents would invite some friends over, and I would listen to them. I'd fall asleep, you know, at the campfire listening to people sing traditional music and a whole bunch of different styles.
So it wasn't hard to scratch the musical itch.
No, and I think, I mean, I don't know. I moved to Nashville, and, you know, recently in the past year, and that is like, you know, at one very extreme end of the musical spectrum as far as like a music community in a town. And that's what I'm looking for at this time in my life. And I am really enjoying that I can bump into some of my heroes as well as my peers just like hanging out in town. That's really inspiring to me, like all the stuff that goes on there. But I mean, as like the truth is, like, people play music even in these towns that don't really have a scene. You know, there's still people like playing music together. And where I really saw the music scene when I was growing up is an old-time festival called Clifftop, West Virginia. It's like Appalachian String Band Music Festival. And all these people who live in, you know, some of them in very vibrant music towns and others from just regular towns where they make pretzels and, you know, or whatever. People would get together and play old-time tunes in the woods for a week. And so that, to me, was like, that was the music scene that I saw. Like, physically saw when I was a kid, other than just my parents and their friends playing music.
Well, as you say, you're going back in the studio to record later this year, but maybe you have a song to play for us right now.
This is a song by a guy named Caleb Clatter. It's called New Shoes. Take me with you.
Outstanding. Sweet. New Shoes. That is the Stray Birds in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. So I meant to ask, the band went through a variety of incarnations, including a variety of names. How did you end up settling on the Stray Birds?
Well, we had a record that we had made and really wanted to put it out, but just didn't have a name. And so that was the only thing stopping the publishing of this record, and so
it is an important part of the equation.
Yeah, you want to call it something. And Maya had written a few songs that had sort of been about birds, coincidentally, and birds do some singing, and so we thought we would be some kind of birds. Obviously, the birds is out. That's been taken.
It has been taken, yes.
Misspelling aside. So we were just looking for the right adjective, really. And then so for a month or so, every time I read anything, I was just looking for that word. And I hadn't thought of it. And then I saw the word stray and proposed it to Maya. And we said, it'll suffice.
Let's just That's a good thing it. You had not written songs about cats, because the stray cats has already been taken, too.
Definitely. Yeah.
How does the creative process play out for you? I gather, Maya, you and Oliver do most of the songwriting, but there, you know, three of you are involved in this. How do you set out to write something?
Well, in the beginning, we just had songs that had been finished, and we brought them to the table, and then the band would arrange them, and we would figure out how to do it and how best to honor the song. And since then, we've done a bit more co-writing and some things in the studio, and even most recently, I think there are two or three songs that are going to be on our newer record that we're going to the studio to record that have been co-written three ways between all of us. And so it's been a slow, though expansive, process in like the inclusion and just like the way you get comfortable with people and
Well, and when you have a band where any one of you could be doing lead vocals on a song, how do you decide which is right for which of you?
Oh. The songs that we sing individually are songs that typically we have brought to the table ourselves as wanting to sing, whether it be an original song that we've written individually or a song that we like to sing that is by someone else and that we wind up covering. And so that's kind of a pretty easy thing. We've not really yet written anything for anyone other than ourselves. There are some co-writes that just, you know, they just fall into the right place, I guess.
What is the ratio, and I guess any one of you can answer this, what is the ratio of songs you begin writing to songs that you finish writing?
Oh, it's terrible. It's such a failing grade. I'm like 25%, if even.
Well, is that a bad thing or is that a good thing? You might argue that
that's me personally. That's Oliver speaking here. I don't know about Maya or Charlie.
Probably like 100 to 1.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, songs that I've started, it's like it could be a lot of times like songs get started and then they get combined, you know, or I'll like take a line from something and then I'll realized that it really fits in this other thing, and I kind of like steal that line from my own other unfinished song. I've got a bunch of unfinished songs, and then a bunch of finished songs that this band will probably never play, just because we might not get to them, or they might not fit, and it's fun. So we'll see.
And being in Nashville, you never know who you'll run into who might want to sing one of those songs.
Yeah, that place has inspired me to be a lot more collaborative already, because there's a lot of people who, one of my good friends is a great songwriter, and he's like, yeah, let's write a song together. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll be around in October. And then his next text was October 7th. like that's it. You know, people just set it up, and then you get together, and there's your day, and you better write a song. So
creativity it's on demand.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right, I hope I have a good night's sleep the night before.
All right, well, I hope you'll play one more song for us. But before I let you go, I've been, Charlie, I feel like I have to ask you this question, because I've been staring at this throughout the interview. There's a message to the TSA on the inside of your bass case, and I'm curious about the story behind that.
This is a folding bass. The neck folds into the back of it. It's designed by a guy named Charlie Chadwick, who's in Nashville. And yeah, it's essentially like, has a flight case there that kind of looks like a small coffin. And, you know, all the little notes that I've got from the TSA saying that we've inspected it, and maybe some mishandling as well, inspired me to just make a little note, polite note to the TSA to remind them that it's my livelihood in their hands when they take it out and put their greasy hands all over it.
And has it had any impact since you put the note there?
It's been great, actually. It's really nice. Sometimes you go to the oversized luggage and they open it up and they do it right there for you. Other times you throw it into the tunnel and you just hope that it makes it. But yeah, along with maybe some more direction just and how to take it out, and you know, it hasn't been too they haven't been too reckless yet, knock on wood.
Well, and I hope the luck continues. And really, for all three of you, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your music with us.
Thanks for having us, Mitch. It's been great.
And what are you going to leave us with?
Well, you started talking about writing and stuff, and so I wanted to play a song here that we've all written together. It's one of the few that we managed to collaborate on. It's called When I Die.
By the tree with the deepest root, bury my body in blue jeans and a pair of my leather boots. Maybe sing a song, maybe carry a rose. Maybe listen for the wind on the day it blows. Don't you tell them you love me if you've broken my heart. Leave the flowers above me now, don't tear them apart. When I die, lay me down at the stream by the tree.
Oliver Craven, Maya DeVitri, and Charlie Minch are the Stray Birds. They joined us in the Lake Effect Performance Studio on a recent trip through Milwaukee.
Our interview and performance was engineered by John Strelecki, and you can hear full versions of all three songs that the Stray Birds played for us at WUWM.com.
That piece of wood is how I learned to pray. Just find some hands to play it every day. Take my body down Main Street. Take me by my old school.